Hello and welcome to the First Take Film Club podcast. You are joining us on episode 55, which is episode 2 of our spooky season specials. Last week, we did Rocky Horror Picture Show. If you did not listen to that, then go back and listen straight away. But this week, we are going to cover two scary, scary films. But first, what I'll do is I'll introduce you to my esteemed co-hosts, Conor Norcott and Liam Jones. Liam Jones, man, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Tired. I've just had a shower, trying to perk myself up a bit, and I've got a coffee. I've got a coffee next to me. I was going to say in my hand, but it's not. I have to go to work soon, which is fun. 10 hours.
Oh no!
Raking that money in.
Yeah, but, I get that rishi money.
Oh yeah, I don't want to
associate myself with that guy. Okay, well, fair enough. We'll move on quickly to Conor. Conor, man, how are you doing?
I'm really good, you know. I've been off for like a couple of days in work. Honestly, I've just been sitting in my flat watching football, playing FIFA, and watching movies, and it's been great. Like, I'm back studying film again at uni, and I'm doing a lot of research. And I've decided that my initial phase of research is just watching the films that I want to write about, and I'm really into it. So yeah, it's been a good week so far.
That's awesome. That is a lovely week. I think my week has consisted of this has been the busiest working week in a long time. I had a couple of deadlines put back actually yesterday, which is really, really handy. But I've just been absolutely manic, and I've got a new car, which I'm picking up tomorrow. So I'm quite excited about that.
Ooh.
Ooh, swanky.
How exciting.
Yeah, my other car, I described it as on its last legs to someone and then quickly went back on it because it doesn't even have legs at this point. Like, I wish it was on its last legs. So I had to quickly go out and get a new car. So that's been my week. Okay, so we'll move swiftly on from that. So the films we're covering today are Evil Dead 2 and A Nightmare on Elm Street. We're going to do them in that order. And we've all really excitingly got quite different like opinions on the films and stuff. From kind of one extreme to the other, and like everyone's got everything in the middle as well, which is really, really exciting. What we do every week is we kind of have an opening question. Don't spend too much time on it, but we just kind of ask a little something largely to do with either the theme or the film that we're watching, or about food sometimes. But this week we've got a Halloween question. So what have you boys been doing to kind of get yourself in the Halloween spirit? Conor, have you been doing anything spooky, exciting?
It's weird, you know, like I feel like normally around this time people are looking to start going out to town, or people are thinking about having little Halloween parties. I know me and Liam had one last year. The remnants of our, I've still, there's some scars in my flat, put it that way. So nothing really too heavy this year, but my girlfriend's buying into Halloween and all the spooky stuff, and we were trying to think of something to do. So we ended up playing this scary video game to get, well, it's meant to be scary. It's called Until Dawn, right? And it's like a group of teenagers in a house in the woods or something. But you have to make decisions, and at the end of it, you can save them all or kill them all. And it was the most stressful 6 hours. And she was hanging so hungover that it was me playing, and I was stressed out. And it was, I think we ended up going to sleep at like 4 in the morning. And for the past 2 nights after that, I was dreaming about the consequences of what I had done. And I felt so bad.
Was it properly scary?
It's like jump scary, but it's not scary. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's fun. It's like something you'd want to, you should play with like your mates or something. It's I had a real laugh.
Yeah, that sounds sick.
And then apart from that, I bought a pumpkin. Everyone else has been buying pumpkins, so I bought one too.
Have you carved it?
No, I think I might make it into soup.
Oh, yeah, but that's the inside. You can carve the outside, can't you?
I'm not that far yet.
I don't know why I'm so insistent that you carve this fucking pumpkin.
What you do, Luke. That is just what
it
you
is
do.
What you do. They're not for food. They're not food, are they? They're decoration. It's basically just DIY decoration. On pumpkins, I've been pumpkin picking. That's my thing that I've done to get me in the mood. Never been before, and I went on last Saturday with my friend Emily, and it was absolutely pissing down, and I was in just a pair of Vans and just some like jeans, and she took it was so squelchy, Rocky. And I looked so ridiculous that she like took a video of me like walking through the mud, and I looked like an absolute psycho. But I did that, and that was fun. But at a point, really, like when you get like so wet feet, it's quite liberating. Which was after like a minute because it was so boggy.
Yeah,
I was just like, you know what? I'm like a kid just jumping around in the mud.
Become a wild man.
Become a wild, wild cat. So did that. Then we carved the pumpkins. Mine's sat over there looking at me now. it was really fun, really. And on Saturday, I have... So basically, we do a quiz every kind of week, a few of us. But every year, we have, like, me or who the lads we used to live with, or another, like, couple. I mean, when me and the lads aren't a couple, but another couple by ours, we'd have, like, a Halloween party every year. And, like, everyone we kind of know from, like, our group would come. So because we can't do that this year, we are doing that on Zoom. So we'll have, like, a Zoom quiz. I'm not sure if anyone of them is going to listen to this, but I'm gonna try and do a murder mystery as opposed to a quiz. But I haven't actually started that yet. Like, literally, it's 11 o'clock, 2 days before the actual event, and I haven't even started it.
And it's a heavy deadline week for you as well.
I know. It's like, as soon as I finish my work deadline, I've got, like, a murder mystery deadline. So hopefully they won't listen to this, so it'll be a surprise. So that's my plan. Liam, awesome. Mate, you've been doing a bit of Spooky Guys, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been carving some pumpkins. I also went pumpkin picking, but people didn't know that happened because I didn't actually post it on Instagram.
It didn't happen if you didn't do that, mate.
No, I know. I did post the carving of the pumpkin.
They were good. They were really good.
I know. I did try.
Like, considering, once again, I'm going to go back to the party we had last year. I remember coming back to the flat. I was in work and I came back and Liam had been decorating. And I'll be honest, like, the last one I saw you do was not up to scratch, but this one's definitely made up for it.
And no. You've been practicing throughout the year.
all year round, on pumpkin, peppers.
In all fairness, the pumpkin I was carving on was fucking massive. So, like, I feel like I had, like, more room to deal with. Yeah. I did Jack-O-Lantern from The Nightmare Before Christmas. So, you know what,
that's
though?
Cool.
Obviously, when the tea lights are in the pumpkins, they look sick, but they look so depressing when it's, like, in the daytime and it's just this weird, like, this weird vegetable that's got, like, holes in it, just, like, looking at you. Do you know what I mean? And it looks so stupid.
I literally thought that. When I looked up then to say I carved the pumpkin, I was looking at it and it was just, like, just looks so depressing and, like, sad. It looks sad. It doesn't look evil. It looks sad.
I know. It's a weird. I wonder where it actually derives from, the carving of a pumpkin. It is a strange one. I know it would have been good to know. It is this weird. Let's cut holes in vegetables, you know, and put some lights in them. It's weird.
See, I was thinking then. Do you reckon we will actually move on to films, not vegetables, in 1 second? Do you reckon they? Because I'm looking at mine and considering I cut a hole in it nearly a week ago, it doesn't look particularly like manky. Do you reckon they chose that vegetable because it stays good for ages?
Yeah, that's exactly it, you know.
Is it?
Yeah. I just googled it, and I was gonna say I'm pretty sure it comes from Ireland, and then I thought you were gonna rinse me, and I googled it, and it does come from Ireland, so yeah.
Well, that's fair enough. That's where that's a good little history for you boys and girls. Yeah. All right, well, let's move away from the history and let's move on to the film. So I think we'll start with Evil Dead 2. We had some slight deliberation over what film to start with, which this is the one I think we maybe have not most opinions on, but I definitely have strong opinions on it.
This might be the most divided we've been. Well, in terms, I think you two agree. And then I completely disagree with your opinions. we all know that my opinion is correct
isn't it? That's the one. I think I'd give Connor some credit and say that I am not even sure his opinions are as strong as mine. But you know, as Liam's already said, it doesn't matter because his opinion's right. So we'll move on to that. So whose first take was this? So this was definitely my first take.
Mine as well.
Mine
both
as well.
Both of these are mine. All of them. Okay, signs.
Oh, amazing. So this is, okay, cool. So this is everyone's first take. So when we were discussing, maybe this should have been the last, but whatever, who cares? It's Halloween, we can do what we want. So yeah, Evil Dead 2, it came out in 1987. It was a Sam Raimi directed movie as like a kind of sequel stroke remake stroke just bigger budget thing to The Evil Dead, the first movie. It's budgeted at $3.5 million, which, God, I think wasn't the original, like, made on, like, a £50,000 budget. Like, it was really, like, very low.
Yeah.
So, obviously, this got kind of picked up and given a lot more of a budget. The box office was $10.9 million, which is an all right return, really, considering how low the budget was anyway. So let's, I don't really want to start with my first take because just because it's a bit, it's probably not even going to be really very fair on the film. So what I'll do is let's start with Liam's first take, mate. What did you think about the movie and what did you expect going into it, considering it is like more of a soft reboot than like an actual sequel?
So going into it, with this film in particular, I've heard from a lot of film journalists that I listen to or read about. I've heard that this is like their favorite horror film. Quite a lot of people highly regard this film as their favorite. Probably not anyone under the age of 30, but a lot of people who were probably, you know, teenagers during the 80s when this film was out. And so I went into this film expecting, obviously knowing that it was going to look, you know, obviously a little bit better than the first one, but it was still going to look a bit wacky, and to the point where we all know what 80s horror films look like now. It's not that scary unless it's The Shining, like unless it's something that's like intensely horrifying because it is just the way that, you know, the acting is, rather than, you know, going for like practical effects and stuff. So we all know that the practical effects are going to look, you know, not what we expect these days. So with that in mind, I went into this film obviously expecting it to be good, but obviously not anticipating it to look amazing. But honestly, I was blown away, to be honest. I loved it so much. Like everything about it was this. It was so like everything about it was almost perfect for me in the sense of what the film was meant to be and what it was kind of representing at the time. And you have like obviously the bad acting, which is like it's almost like charming to me because Sam Raimi knows that Bruce Campbell isn't very good. But he knows he looks good on camera, and when he does the wacky moments, you know, he really, really leans into it, and I think it pays off for me. And like, you know, the practical effects in this are brilliant. You know, they use like stop motion and kind of like what's like makeup and stuff and all sorts of like, I can't even begin to understand the techniques that Raimi and the effects team used. But I think it looks amazing. A lot of it looks amazing. And I always try and think when I'm watching films like this, put yourself in the mind of someone in that time and how would this have looked? It's like I always think about Star Wars, you know, watching the first Star Wars film now. I'm like, when I was a kid, that's why when we were kids, we didn't like the originals. We liked the prequels because they looked better to us. But obviously when you were a kid in the 80s, they looked amazing because it's something you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
And that's what I always try and think about is at the time, how would this have looked to you? And I think it would have looked amazing. And it looked amazing to me now. Like,
yeah.
I think it was completely bonkers. Like it was so OTT. Some of the, you know, the blood, the different colors of blood, you got like black, red, green. It's not just like spraying blood, it's gushing. It's like a waterfall of blood.
It is like a waterfall, yeah.
That's what I like. It's just goofy and funny. It's a genuinely funny horror film as well. Like I laughed a lot. There are a lot of one-liners that Raimi gives Ash in this, and they're just fucking great. They are, I love it. I love it so much. And I think there's no wonder that this film sparked, obviously, the third film in a trilogy, and then like 20 years later, because of like the cult following, sparked like a TV show based on that character, like because it has such a strong following and it was such a popular film. So yeah, that's my first take.
That's great.
And let's you boys are both going to disagree with me.
No, honestly, but, you could almost box that off and that could be the film done. Like, because I feel like me and Luke are quite negative on this film, but everything you said makes sense. Like, I totally get the reasons why you like the film. I understand why they work for you. Fair game. Like, honestly, I don't think I've ever heard you defend a film and justify your reasons for it as much ever.
Oh, and I thought that was the end of the sentence.
Yeah, but to that level, you know what I mean? It was like, I almost feel like clapping. It was like I was watching a fucking speech at the BFI or something. Yeah, fair. Yeah. Honestly, fair. Like, it is, it's one of those films that does have a legacy, and it just works for some people. It really does. I think it's quite clear it didn't really work for Luke at all. I was kind of in the middle. Surprise, surprise. There's a lot I really don't like about it, especially those little one-liners. I know it's a horror comedy, but when the horror doesn't scare me and the comedy doesn't make me laugh, I'm not into it. But we're gonna keep talking about like the practical effects of the things that I came on and stayed for, really. I kind of forgot it was a reboot when I went into it, so it kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, didn't we cover this last year, or am I in some kind of weird Halloween dream? What the hell's going on? And I realized actually it looks a bit better despite the sound quality on the version I had when I watched it. I like parts of it, I really do, especially the effects, especially some particular scenes that we'll talk about, but nah, you know what I mean? I think it would have been so much better if all three of us watched it together at the same time, had a beer, had a laugh.
It seems
like that type of film for me. Yeah. It's almost a communal thing.
I think you're probably right there with that. So what I want to do is I want to actually just get my headline out, which is I fucking hated it. Yeah. But then I do. Yesterday I was like, honestly, so
yesterday you were on one,
so
bro.
Pissed,
you were
so
on
pissy
one.
About it. I was so pissy about it. I think for a number of reasons, some that weren't actually necessary to do with the film, just kind of, oh, we're doing this for the fucking podcast and I've got to watch it and fucking I've got to talk about it and I don't like it. Like, just basically just being a little fucking baby. But I think for me, the reason that I honestly did fucking hate it. But if this had been, it's weird. I really like my horror films. So which you probably suggest, well, I mean, like Liam said, like people don't just like, usually watch this film and like it, like they fucking love it, like people love this film and like you said, Liam, this universe. But for me, like I'm a really massive horror fan, and the thing that I'm a massive horror fan about horror is I want to be actually scared and I want to watch an actual horror, and it wasn't scary. I suppose you would call it a horror just purely because of the content. But I just think at what point does a horror go from just being people dressing up in fucking makeup to actually being scary?
Yeah.
And I think that's what annoyed me a little bit. The effects were like, I sometimes think, especially with myself, like last week we did Rocky Horror Picture Show and I wasn't a massive fan of that, but like there was bits that you were like, undeniably, this is great. Like Tim Curry, for example. And like the songs that we spoke about as well. And I think what is really, I mean, this may just be me, but I think what is really good to have is if you think a film is like really, really not great at all, but you can still be like, this is the one thing that's boss about it. I think just the effects were like if they had effects like that in horror movies now, I would be pumped because like, it's just so creative and so exciting and so like inventive. And whether that was because, I mean, they had a much higher budget. And yeah, it looked much better than The Evil Dead. But I think with 3.5 million, you've probably still got to be pretty creative and have pretty creative minds like behind the scenes. But just the fact that that's the only bit that I got out of it. And it was like obviously quite that's a technical element, really.
Mm-hmm.
But if we'd have been doing, say we'd have sat down and been like, we're going to do three films, it's going to be like a spoof week. I go into it with a different mindset.
That's a really fair point.
Because I was actually like, they dialed up the spoof element of this, haven't they? I think to differentiate it from
it's more comedy, isn't it? Yeah. It's more comedy.
And I think if someone maybe would have said to me a few days before, this is, you know, got spoof elements to it and it's really quite a caricature and like a piss take on like the other movie maybe, I'd have maybe let that sink in and maybe I would have actually probably gone into it and thought like this is better than what I think now.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do that. And like, yeah, if we'd have had like a few spoofs, like if we'd have done Airplane, Scary Movie and Evil Dead 2, on an episode, then
sounds
I'm going
all right,
into
to
it.
Be honest. Yeah,
yeah, it does actually. I'm going into it with knowing the first two are spoofs, and then this one, I'm obviously expecting different. So it is hard to know whether I just hated it or it hit me at the wrong time.
Yeah.
But I suppose all I've got to go on now, like, you know, this is the First Take Film Club. My first take was that I just don't really want to watch it ever again, to be honest. I'm done. But I suppose that's our three first takes, I suppose. Can I just ask? I didn't remember. So this obviously is, we touched on it, a bit of a quasi-remake of The Evil Dead. I don't really remember that film at all. We did that last year on a Halloween episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
Maybe we should do Army of Darkness next year.
I'd be up for that, honestly. I'd be really up for that, yeah.
Liam looks really stoked already. he might not be able to wait until next year for it.
To be honest, actually.
How similar did you find the two? Because I honestly, like, I did see similar bits, especially like the tree bit and like the hand coming up and stuff. But I don't massively remember the two. Can you maybe just elaborate on that for us a little bit?
Basically, because I think Sam Raimi always just wanted to make the first one again, almost, but with a bigger budget. But for some reason or another, couldn't get the rights to actually do that.
Oh, okay.
So basically had to retell the story of the first one within the first 10 minutes of his new film. He actually wanted like the full, you know, the full group of friends from the start of the first film in the start of the second film, but for one reason or another couldn't get them. So just went with Ash and some a new lady who also happens to get possessed. And what you have is basically everything that happens within, you know, the 80 minutes of the first film happened within the first 10 minutes of the second film, just with maybe there's a few tweaks here and there, but that's basically it, and sets it up for, you know, the next 70 minutes of this film. There's so many moments of this film that I think are brilliant, and I think have inspired a lot of other horror films. The moment in particular, I it's so boss when he is basically him and one of the, it's him and the a girl that are left, the last two survivors, and he goes and into this shed, and he's basically like to gear up, you know, get your weapons, get ready to take on the dead, and there's like a little like shot of him in this moment where they're being possessed constantly. He has time to like solder a chainsaw to his chopped off hand, so now it's like, and he's like got this thing where like when he moves his arm, it like jump starts the chainsaw. And it's like,
are you saying that inspired the Mission Impossible Fallout, Henry Cavill reloading his arms? That's kind of like the precursor. That's the inspiration.
No, but like it inspired like loads of moments in horror films, like in Shaun of the Dead when they go to the shed and grab the cricket bat and all that. It's like little moments like that that you just know have inspired other great moments of other horror films.
Here's a really weird parallel, right? There's this, I'm a massive fan of hip-hop, right? And there's this concept in hip-hop, like your favorite rapper's favorite rapper, everyone you like, everyone's favorite rapper is always MF Doom, because he's like this really mad, over the top, creative, funny, but also really serious hip-hop artist, and none of his rhymes kind of make sense, but when you break them all down, it just works. It's like this weird formula that only works in his head that is extrapolated. This is kind of like that. There's so many filmmakers, like you've talked about, that love this film, and there's a lot of filmmaking in this film that is really inspirational in general, but like maybe because we've saw all what's came as a consequence of it, it doesn't register as much, at least for me.
Yeah.
And normally it's me who's the one who's like in awe of a film before its legacy and what it did for other filmmakers. And I think I just watched it with a really negative head on. I don't know why. I think maybe because, I don't know. I just didn't.
Yeah, I think like that actually in a way surprises me, in that obviously you're the film guy at uni. And obviously I've listened to Joe Cornish speaking about Sam Raimi's direction of this film, and he basically spoke for about 10 minutes about everything he does in this film technically there's some things he does in this film that he was the first to do. Mm-hmm. And some of the techniques he uses are so complicated that he can't quite actually understand why he did so many of them. But he, to his mind, it pays off. I don't know. There are, as you say, so many kind of creatives that do, like, they love Sam Raimi, full stop, and then obviously love this film. But I think because, again, it's one of those things, isn't it, what I've mentioned before about we, you know, being us three being younger, maybe not having the same relationship with kind of what things like that are meant to, what horror films are meant to look like. Because obviously, like Luke, you said, oh yeah, it didn't scare you at all. But like The Exorcist didn't scare me at all. But back in the day, that petrified everyone. Like, to the point, you know, to the point where, you know, you were having priests come and bless cinemas and stuff before they started showing the film. Like, it's just one of those things. But then, you know, there are, again, going back to my point, there's so many moments in this film that I love. And like, I think the physical comedy in this, the moment when his hand gets possessed, I can tell Connor doesn't like it, but I love it. I think it's so funny and it's so stupid.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, I could just see that, you know, working,
I could see cinemas so well bursting into laughter, you know what I mean? Because people, yeah, almost like Rocky Horror last week, when people do have this, you know, follow a film with real like fervor and it's their film, you go to screenings of like-minded people and they wouldn't shout out lines like they do in Rocky Horror, but they'd, you know, they'd all know the joke is coming, and that's maybe like Shaun of the Dead sometimes, that's when it gets funnier.
What I want to do is, just while Liam mentioned it earlier, I want to discuss the scary element. I wouldn't be surprised if all three of us didn't find it scary. Mm-hmm. And largely for the reasons that Liam gave, whereas like in a weird way, we've been desensitized to a lot of stuff, maybe, you know, effects have maybe come on a little bit and that type of thing. But do you think if you watched it in a cinema in 1987, because I think even watching it at home takes away the scary element of most films, really, unless you're like really in the zone. Do you think if you watched it in the cinema in 1987, you would have found it either scary or even a little bit frightening, Liam?
Yeah, I think so, because they essentially built it up as that. They built it up as a horrifying film, you know, which like it had the backing of like Stephen King. You know, he was quite prominent. It was quite a prominent force behind the actual finance of this film because he loved the first one so much. And yeah, I think going into it, if I was, you know, a teenager going in to watch this film in 1987, I think I would have been expecting a scary film, and I think I would have been scared.
Yeah.
But then I think that's what makes the comic elements so impactful. I think it's like that comic relief. I remember when I watched Shaun of the Dead when I was a kid, you know, mentioning that film again, but it's just so good. You just can't not. I was, you know, I probably watched it a little bit too young, but I was petrified, like, going into it. I was petrified of like zombies, and like the makeup is so kind of convincing, but like it made the comic elements so much funnier to me, because that's what I wanted. I wanted some comic relief because I was being terrified for, you know, moments of the film. Yeah. And I think like that is probably what he was going for. It's maybe a little bit wackier. It's not so it's not like subtle comedy in a way. It is in your face. So maybe that might have taken it away in the time. I'm not too sure, but I know for sure definitely it was marketed as like this gruesome horror film.
So, do you think? Yeah. Do you wonder? So I'll go to Connor on the scary thing in a minute, because I'd like to hear like what he says, especially around the content of the film, be it like kind of have a study in film. But do you think? I wonder whether that makes it. So you've got the scary element in the cinema, but there's also strong comedy elements of the film. I wonder whether that gives it almost like I think that allows it to have another life outside of the cinema. So, like, you've almost got, like, oh, you watch it and it's maybe scary at the cinema. But then when you come away, you will get, if you're watching it on a small telly, like it would have been in 1987, but even now, but you've got the comedy elements to hang on to. So, so I think maybe it's almost like it gives it a second life, because it's got such a cult following that it is kind of two films, and you can kind of grab hold of each element of the film and say this is overly comedy. Like what Liam says, like it uses the effects and the scariness, yeah, but you know when the comedy's happening. Like I didn't find any of it funny. I don't really like that kind of big, elaborate kind of that type of humor. But I knew comedy's happening now or horror's happening now, and I just kind of wonder whether that is part of the love for the film, is that you can actually get a few different things from it a few different times you watch it.
I think it has that rewatchability factor, and it's something that, like, some horror films these days don't have, no matter, even if they're great. Like, for example, like Midsommar, the Ari Aster follow-up to Hereditary, is a fantastic film. It is. But it's so, you know, it's so heavy and it's so dark.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it would actually... I watched it twice in the cinema only because we covered it on the podcast. But I won't watch it again, even though it's on Prime. Like, I could watch it whenever
I'm definitely going to leave it for another couple of years, I think.
It's not something that, you know, you'd want to put yourself through, I don't think. You know, it's so full-on, heavy, and quite depressing, you know.
Yeah,
in the first 10 minutes, it's very, quite upsetting, actually, almost.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of elements that are really visually, like, gutting a bit, aren't
they? Yeah,
like, with the end scene, especially with the fire and stuff. But, yeah, I think you're right there, mate.
I think it's like walking that line, isn't it? Sorry, walking that like line of rewatchability, but not maybe going over the top to like tackiness almost, which I think probably you guys might have taken from Evil Dead 2, maybe a bit tacky.
I think that's fully fair, Liam. I think that's you've nailed on the head there. Like it has those elements of rewatchability, but when you don't enjoy one of the elements, it's not very watchable.
Would you think you would have been scared by Connor?
I am a notorious big bitch. Like, I hate scary films. I hate anything scary. And I just don't watch them. I have, like, my, what's the word? My horror genre literacy is very low. It's about key stage 3 level. So probably it would have scared me, definitely. And I think it's what I find really interesting is not really switching off the kind of analytical bit when you watch films. I really like how he tries to scare you and how he makes the scary mood, how Sam Raimi does it. And I also love that he just more or less does everything himself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everything he has some hand in, whether it's the prosthetics or whether it's the practical effects or the editing or even the sound design, camera work. I love it. I love it so much. Just a little quick bit, and then we'll probably have to wrap up to move on to the next film soon, is I really, really love... You know, the kind of dolly zooms into the house when they're it's the kind of, I think they call it the force of evil coming into the house. I love, first of all, how they did that and how they broke the window down was they just got a camera, stuck some, like a cross, like two bits of wood on it and rammed it into a window to break the window because they didn't have the budget to replace windows. So they had to do it on one take. Like stuff like that, I'm a sucker for. And then they layer over different sound effects from different films to make the, you know, like the sound of the evil. Like I think they used some sound from The Third Man, the Orson Welles film, and then Sam Raimi and his brother going, or like saying a sentence and going like reversing it. I love all that stuff, man.
Yeah,
it's like a uni film. It feels like a student film, but with a, you know, a lot more of a budget.
Yeah, massively. So I reckon we've got about 6 minutes. So I'm going to say two things. I want to know, this goes into the effects, and this me and Connor might have favourite scenes that are to do with like the effects that come in, and Liam might have a different one. But I want to ask, just to elaborate a little bit on the effects and also what our favourite scene is. So I'll go with my favourite scene just being Connor mentioned it before, and I really hope it's not yours, but I'm going to nick it if it was. It's the scene where he's just buried his girlfriend, I imagine, or yeah, well, there it is, girlfriend, isn't it? And then she comes back up from the grave almost, and it's like a stop motion, and the head like rolls towards her and like kind of rolls up her arm and onto her head, and then she does like a little dance thing, but it's all in stop motion and it all looks fucking really good. But that's like my favorite scene, and honestly, like, that is it really for me. The favorite scenes, like, I like if we're discussing the effects, like we said before, it's just like Connor says, actually quite exciting to know how like creative they must have had to get. And someone's head has got to be that creative. So I've not really seen anything like it, to be honest with you. And especially in horror films where someone's got so many ideas. And for me, some of them don't work, but at least they're pretty creative and interesting. So my favourite scene does link in with the special physical effects. Liam, what's your favourite scene, please, mate?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure my favourite scene. I have a favourite moment.
Yeah.
And it's when Ash is being tormented by one of the demons. And it's like he's got a shotgun and he just goes, swallow this.
That's like, cool.
It's so stupid, but it's so kind of like in your face, have that moment that I just think, I love it. I can't actually think which scene I really like. I actually really like the last scene because it's batshit crazy, where he gets thrown into a different portal.
Yeah,
and he's in medieval times, and there's this like bat thing flying at him, and then he shoots that, and then they all like hail Ash, the slayer of the deity or whatever they say, like. It's so stupid, but like, again, I don't know why. I just loved it. I loved the stupidness of it. It was just, it really connected with me somehow. Maybe that says a lot about myself.
I've got a little confession to make before I ask Connor what his favorite scene is. I just fucked it off before that scene. Like, it got to 1 minute to 8 o'clock when the football was about to start, and I literally thought to myself, so I had like, honestly, I think when I looked at Prime, I had 6 minutes left of the production, so like,
yeah, 2 minutes, like 4 minutes, I imagine. Yeah.
But I just went, I fucking watched this film, basically. Yeah. I'm not interested. Yeah. But my mate was like, there's a mad scene at the end where there's knights for some fucking reason. And I was like, oh, I'll watch the rest of it tomorrow morning then, whatever. I probably could have put it on when we're recording, but I just... There were lots of points during the film where I was like, I might just fuck it off because it might be funny just to say I fucked it off on the podcast. I was like, I really don't want to piss Connor and Liam off, so I will watch it. So I didn't even see that scene. So I will watch it after the podcast, which is not helpful to anyone who's listening. Connor, what's your either what's your favorite scene or like what's your favorite element that you can take away from the film?
I just want to quickly on that last scene. That last scene felt like a kick in the balls to me. Like, I was so with it, and I was like, you know what? Like, I know you said, look, you were like, you know, I'm turning this off, the football's on. I stuck by it, I watched it, and I was writing down my notes of what I liked, what I didn't like, and then I got to that bit, and I was like, what the fuck?
But you know, that actually does, that scene makes sense, because there is a reference to Ash in that book thing.
Book of the Dead, the Book of the Evil.
The Book of the Dead, in that, it actually mentioned something about Ash in the past, you know, doing something, you know, in medieval times almost, along the lines of that anyway. So it had been referenced earlier in the film.
I just read that before we started, and I was like, you know what, fair enough. It's my dumb self.
It links into the sequel directly, apparently, as well. It's a sequel maker.
Directly linked into the sequel, but it's not as, obviously, as batshit as you think when you realize that it is actually hinted at within the film.
Yeah,
it's not just like Sam Raimi's gone, let's throw him into
I think I'd rather that.
Well, that's what I thought it was, and I did not rather that, I'll tell you that.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, let's wrap that up, because we said we would do, and it's 1 minute up to the deadline that we said we would do. Let's do popcorns. You know what I'll do, Liam, I'm going to end on your popcorns, because I think it might be more positive. Connor, popcorns, please, man.
60. There's a lot to really, really like about it, and I just don't know if I like it. I don't think I'm into B horror movies.
B movie horror.
Yeah, because I'm just not that into horror in general, so I'm not going to appreciate the B-sides of the albums. But I love the film as a, you know, not a wannabe filmmaker, but a fan of filmmakers. It's inspiring.
Cool. Okay. So my pop, I've got a wry smile on my face here because I'm just like, I know what's coming. Cause I thought about it. When we said we wouldn't, like last night, Connor sent like a really good message around being like, let's not just like totally shit on the film. And I was like, I'll fucking give you my opinion. So I toned it down a little bit and I thought, well, the element is the best bit I can do is I can tell them popcorns. 20. That's all I'm giving it. 20 popcorns.
I think that's generous from you, Luke. Honestly, yeah, I was expecting five. I'll be honest.
I think it's still lower than the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer when we did that time. yeah. So that, I mean, that's just my opinion on the film, and it may change over time. Liam. Probably not. Liam, let's go a little bit more positive, man, because I think you were really into this film. So do you want to give us your popcorns?
So I was going to give it 80, but I feel like just because you gave it 20, I'm going to bump it up to 85.
Oh, 85 like popcorns. I'm glad I could help you out there.
The Evil Dead 2. Great. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I would recommend.
I really like that you've compensated for me there. Like, you should have given it 100 so that we could at least average it out over the three couples, so it's a bit higher. Okay, cool. So let's quickly, we've 1 minute over schedule, but that's absolutely fine. Let's move on to the next film. It is A Nightmare on Elm Street. So this, I think, I don't quite know how all of us feel about this film, but I think I definitely feel slightly softer about it than I did the previous Evil Dead 2. So this film came out in 1984 on November the 9th, which is my brother's birthday, but about 10 years in the past. This film was budgeted at 1.8 million, so even still less than Evil Dead, actually, or Evil Dead 2. But it made 57 million at the box office, which is just an absolute corker of an amount compared to the budget. We didn't give it like a synopsis on the last film, definitely not on purpose, but I'll just chalk it down to being an absolutely fucking mental movie. I'll give a brief synopsis on Elm Street. Basically, there's this like mad, weird murderer who comes to you in your dreams and kills you in your dreams. That's it. That's all we need to go for. I think everyone's pretty knowledgeable on the actual story if you're listening to this podcast. So let's go with whose first take was this? So I've seen it before.
It was
just Connor's first take. Okay, well, do you want to go ahead and give us your first take on it, Connor?
I really, really like this. I was kind of upset that I had to watch it by myself, though. Like, there's no one in the flat. Anna was in work. I had to watch it by myself. But it feels like a film, once again. To me, this is Halloween in a film. It's kind of scary, it's kind of spooky, it's kind of stupid, the acting's awful, but there's good filmmaking there, there's a couple good jump scares, the sound design's really good, and the concept is fucking frightening and terrifying goosebump inducing, and I actually really, really liked it, except for maybe one or two scenes that we'll talk about later on.
Golden, that's a really good succinct first take, fair play. I have seen it before, and I think I might have liked it more the first time I saw it. I'm a big horror fan, and I think because this was more typically horror, but in terms of like the effects and stuff as well, like it's not kind of dissimilar to Evil Dead 2, except toned down to like the extreme. Like there's still some interesting effects to grab hold of there. I just kind of think that it all felt a bit. I don't know, you know, in the way that 80s horror films is kind of slightly camp a little bit in today's day and age,
yeah,
it just felt a little bit like that, because I agree with Connor, and we were talking about it last night, and it's just like the most the most frightening concept for a film, and I'm not surprised it did so well, and I'm not surprised it is up there. Like, you know, if you say horror movies, like classic horror movies, you're definitely putting Evil Dead in there, but you're probably definitely putting A Nightmare on Elm Street there, because that's one of those classics.
It's like Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Friday the 13th. That's like the holy trinity of...
I saw Friday the 13th either, you know.
Oh, it's not good. It's the first one really... The first one really isn't good at all. It's it's in the same it's similar to The Evil Dead, the first film, in that it looks so cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it didn't really resonate with me. But yeah, anyway, that but it was it was a massive success. That's why it's got like, you know, 20 odd films in the series. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big it was a big success, and then they just absolutely fucked it by, like you say, just adding so many sequels. But yeah, my second take was largely meh, I'm not that interested. I'm really gutted. I think I liked everything about it apart from Freddy Krueger, who I just think is really, apart from like what he does is amazing. I just don't think he looks, I don't know, doesn't look great for me.
Yeah. I kind of like how they, sorry, we'll let Liam jump in for a sec. I really like how they kind of like use the Jaws effect. Like they don't really show him that often. And when they do, it's like quite low light. You can't really see his face that much. You see his weird little creepy hands. And I love the opening because everyone knows what Freddy Krueger, like what his MO is, what his whole shtick is. Mm-hmm. And at the opening, you kind of see him almost assembling his little gauntlet of sharpie knife things. I was into that. That was really cool.
And you're thrown right into it as well, aren't you?
Like, that was the same as The Evil Dead. It's just straight buying in, and I'm so into that. Yeah.
I've got a lot of time for that, actually,
Yeah. But in particular with, like, obviously The Evil Dead, you know, the baddie is more of a, you know, a concept in that it's not just one being, it's many beings of evil. Whereas this is, you know, one big bad. And to introduce him right at the start, you don't see him completely clearly, but you introduce him right from the start with him assembling his claw hands and then even, you know, moments later chasing a girl in her dreams. I think that's quite bold. And I think that's, you know, if you were watching it, you know, at the time, you'd think, "Oh, fuck! I'm in for a, you know, a frightening, a fright fest, you know, of a film." I think when this is a second time I've watched it, and I think I preferred it the second time round. I watched it maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and for me, actually, I disagree with Luke in that I actually think Freddy Krueger does look quite scary. He is pretty terrifying. If I bumped into him in the street, I'd shit my pants.
Yeah.
I think if I bumped into anyone in the street,
bumped into him in Asda, he didn't have a mask on. Dickheads.
No, I know. Yeah, he definitely. Freddy Krueger wouldn't wear a mask.
No way, bro. Sure. You can't take it off with those little things.
Yeah, it's very impractical, those, aren't they? Yeah. Only good for killing. That's it. That's all.
Yeah,
good for.
Only good for killing. But yeah, as you say, the element of the film is petrifying. And if I were a little younger watching this film, that whole thing would dawn on me when I was trying to get to sleep. It would play on my mind like a mother. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know why I was going to say that word.
I was going to say motherfucker.
So did I.
I was going to say motherfucker, but then I thought, should I really say that? It's
it sounded, much,
isn't it?
It is 11 really in the morning.
It sounded really Partridge. Smell like Juju Mother. Smell like Juju Mother. okay, so you were into it then,
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Not as much as Evil Dead 2, actually, but but no, I did enjoy it. Yeah, I agree with Connor with the acting. The acting isn't great. I actually prefer the acting in Evil Dead 2 because at least they know it's bad in that one. I the concept's great. You get thrown right into it, and Freddy Krueger's, you know, a bad dickhead, and he looks fantastic. Yeah. And also the actual. There's an actual story element to this. You know, there is an actual what's the word I'm looking for? There's also an origin to the character, to the villain that you don't kind of find out about until, you know, maybe like two-thirds of the way through the film. That in itself is quite, you know, interesting to me. There, you know, there are some horror films. Like Friday the 13th, there's not really much explanation other than the fact that actually in the end, it's in the first one anyway, it's not Freddy, no, Jason, whatever his name is, it's his mum or something like that. But yeah, I'm going to stop rambling because I'll let someone else speak for a bit. I like the film anyway.
Okay, good. I'm glad you like the film, yeah. So God, I don't really know where to start with this because I feel like everyone's kind of like, I don't know, it's so well known because it's so iconic.
It really is, isn't it? I feel like such a loser for not watching this. I was so scared. But if we're going to wheel out the scareometer like we used to.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do that?
Didn't really scare me at all, to be honest. Like,
no.
I think that's why I liked it so much, because it didn't make me want to hide and find myself or anything. You know what I mean?
Something that Liam said, I don't think he directly addressed it, but it just kind of made me think. I think, you know, the way, like, I think it's kind of some of the first films that I watched when I was younger, or that I necessarily remember, are kind of like horror films. Like, you're not really allowed to watch them, but like, you'll be around at your friends and you'll stick them on and stuff like that, because it kind of feels like a grown-up thing to do. If I'd have watched this when it came out, and I was, say, let's say I was like, say 13, 14, it was probably an 18, wasn't it? But, you know, people watch shit, don't they? Yeah. This would have absolutely scared the shit out of me, I think. Like, just the general concept. Because the whole, I think the whole idea of horror films is at least you can go to sleep and just fucking you wake up in the morning, you feel a bit better. This, you're like, you know, in the way that you, I don't think you necessarily think anything is necessarily real, like when you're younger, but in the way that you might be like, but if I go to sleep and I dream about him, like, he might be fucking there. So I think it is a scary concept. I think I'd be pretty scared if when this came out. Like, I don't think it's scary now. Not one bit scared me at all, in the same way like that Evil Dead I didn't find scary. But I didn't think I would have ever I'm not sure whether I ever would have found Evil Dead scary or not. It's hard to say. Whereas this, regardless or not, whether you look at the film and you think it's not scary, like, the actual concept is shit scary, isn't it? Where would you put it on your scareometer now? I think pretty low.
Yeah, like, I can't remember how we scored it. It might have been like a 20. I know there was one that was 100, one was 10, and one was 20 for some reason, and I don't know why.
No, that makes sense.
Either way, I'd say I'd give it probably a low 1.5, if there is half measures.
I'm intrigued then, Connor. What type of horror film scares you the most, or what is the horror film that scares you the most?
Despair and sadness.
So Midsommar. Then.
Midsommar, honestly.
Isn't,
like,
that just the films that you enjoy anyway?
It is, but I like them when Paul Thomas Anderson makes them and they're all shiny and nice.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, not when a film opens up with like a family suicide.
Yeah, I hate that. Hereditary is honestly the scariest one, because I think what it is actually that scares me is tone. When you can make a tone.
Hereditary is actually really frightening.
And
yeah.
Every moment, like, only because I watched it in a cinema. No, I didn't watch it in cinema. Only because I watched it for the podcast. I couldn't turn it off. And that was the worst part, because if I had to watch that by myself any other day, I'd just turn it off and go to bed.
The one film that scared me the most of the last 5 years, or maybe it's longer than that, but Sinister.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's really, really like horrifying.
Once again, that's tone as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's tone, but it's also imagery. The imagery in that film is actually really scary.
Yeah, it is.
Really scary. Like,
let's not talk about it. Let's move on.
I agree with you. Liam, that was the first film that I saw at the cinema that's proper scared me, because I've honestly never been scared by movies. But that, the music in it as well. Sinister is just a brilliant, like, it's almost like if you want to make a great horror film, this has got kind of all the elements, really. And even the story's pretty good. So what should we... This is funny, because I don't really know where to go with this, really. What do you reckon of the actual performances, I suppose? You thought they were pretty shit. I quite liked Heather Lagerkamp, which is...
Same.
Nancy. I thought she was pretty good. In the way that, like, she was really over the top, but I didn't find it unconvincing. I thought it was pretty good.
I actually also really liked the her mum. I can't remember who played her mom, but I thought she was really... I know she's not a teenager actor like the rest of them, but I
the
think
character
she was really
Nancy
good.
Comes back, I think, throughout the series.
Okay.
And I think in one of them, I think Wes Craven comes back to direct one in the 90s, maybe, and it's like
a
reboot.
A New Nightmare, yeah. It's called A New Nightmare.
And I think she comes back, but like, it's like as someone playing Nancy. It's weird. I'm not 100% sure. I've just read the character description on IMDb, and that's what it sounds like. But yeah, I mentioned to you guys earlier that I really, really want to watch Dream Warriors, the third film in this series, because it's almost like it's meant to be, you know, like a team, you know, like they team up and like go into the dream and like battle him in their dreams, you know, which obviously Nancy kind of does at the end of this film. I really like that moment because it's like she is broken down completely. Her friends have all died and it's like, right, I'm either going to die myself or I'm going to have to try and, you know, kill this monster. Mm-hmm. And she does, or maybe she doesn't. But
does she?
We've only got like 10 minutes left before we all have to go and do our lives. So let's just rattle through something. I want to talk about favorite moments. It's clear it didn't really scare us that much, but there is one moment in particular that I think is honestly like chef's kiss. So good. When Nancy's in the hospital and they kind of, I think maybe did they put her to sleep or does she just naturally fall asleep? And she starts freaking out because obviously she in her dreams, Jason is chasing her. And she wakes up in her, Freddy, I'm all horrored out. And I think her mum's right beside her and she says, oh, where did you get this hat from? And she's like, oh, I took it with me. And she takes it from under the thing. So like it kind of sets up that there's kind of crossover and that it is happening. And then her mum tells her later on about the history of Freddy and all that stuff. And it's really, really cool. And I love how the iconic moments that some are death, some are just near death experiences, like the infamous bath scene or how Johnny Depp eventually meets his end. I can't remember what he's called. He's called like Ewan or some shit name, Craig or something.
sorry if anyone has called that.
Oh my God.
Absolutely be listening to this podcast.
I'm so sorry.
You can get hold of him at Connor at Connor Norcat on Twitter if you want to call Connor a crap name.
Anyway.
I want to speak about two death scenes in this I love. Yeah. And obviously, the first one is the famous death of Johnny Depp's character when he gets, you know, the blood spews out of the bed after he's like grabbed, like almost like sucked into his own bed by Freddy Krueger, and the blood, and it's like that image is that, you know, that concept of like spewing blood, like coming out almost like a waterfall. It's done in a few films, isn't it? Obviously, you have like the
Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2, the image in The Shining. There's another one that I'm trying to think of that I can't quite remember. But
I think it's excellent, isn't it?
I think It does It.
The remake of It comes out as one.
So it's something that obviously horror films like to do, but in this one it is done well. And yeah, it looks boss. But I actually really like the final death scene right at the end, the very final shot. It's just so stupid because it's just like, obviously the mum is standing by the door and then Freddy grabs, like punches through the glass of the door and drags her through. But it's so clear. After his hand comes through, she turns into like a blow up doll almost. And you see it, the way he like pulls her through.
Rags her through the window, yeah.
I love that. It's just so great because obviously it's like they had this concept and they were like, how can we do it? And it was like, right, well, halfway through the cut, we'll have to turn her into a blow up doll so we can get her through the window. But it's just so clear that it's like a blow up doll. But it made me chuckle. But yeah, I like that.
I don't know if I have a favourite scene. I do quite like that scene. The other element of it where they're driving away and they're
they've
been captured.
That for me is actually the most horrifying thing about the whole film because have the moment where you think he's dead and, you know, everything's reset back to normal, but then he's still there. It's almost like he's even more powerful because now he's almost like, I don't know.
Controlling reality.
He's crossed over, yeah.
He's crossed over, or has he, or is this, or is that ending a dream sequence in itself? I don't know, because it did seem quite dreamlike in that everyone seems so kind of out
happy
of it,
and
in a perfect sort of way.
I just love this movie, man.
I I don't necessarily have like a favorite scene. I love the scene with the bloods. I think that's, like you say, that's quite iconic and hot. Like when it's done well, it looks really, really good. I think just the general element that I liked about it was the fact that this is a villain that, like with horror films, if you find the villain, you can prove the villain exists because there they are. Like all the way through, Nancy is just trying to convince all the adults around her that this person exists and he's killing people in their dreams, and it's just impossible to prove. And I just think that's amazing. It's like, because it must, I think it's pretty scary as well, but I don't have a scene to pick out, but I like that element of the whole film where it goes on from minute one to kind of 10 minutes to, you know, 10 minutes from the end of her just trying to convince all the adults in her life that she's not a psycho and this thing's actually happening, even when she pulls out that hat from nowhere. Obviously her mum knows the name Freddy Krueger, but yeah, so that's my favorite. Let's I felt like we spoke about The Evil Dead 2 a lot longer than we have done this, but I don't necessarily think we have. Let's just move straight on to popcorns, I think, unless anyone's got anything else to add.
I've got a quick question. Yeah, one of our trusty listeners, a guy called Ned, sent us a question last night, and he asked, if you had to recast, if you were going to remake this film, and a good one, and you had to recast someone to play Freddy, who would you pick? And I know I've put you on the spot here. I thought about telling you this before we started recording, but my first answer seemed like a good one, so I want to see who the first person that jumps to your head is. Mine was Paul Dano. I think Paul Dano would be sick.
Oh, okay. Ooh, interesting. Yeah. I've got one that came to my head straight away. I don't know why. Ryan Reynolds. I think he's got that kind of sly gear to himself, whereas like Freddy's a little bit slimy and a little bit like wry, smileish. And I think he could add a little bit of, not that there's just a bit of cheeky element to Freddy, I think. And I think he's kind of got that. And also, maybe it's because in Deadpool, his actual body, he looks like fucking Freddy. He's a minga. So, so I think that might be it. How about you, Liam? That's a really good fucking question, actually, Ned.
I can't think. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, man. I'm trying to think of someone like tall, skinny, with a long nose, and I just can't.
Adam Driver.
Yeah, actually, yeah. What a shout! He would be pretty good. Yeah, he'd be good. Freddy Krueger.
He would be good. I don't know if he's. He actually is a bit scary, isn't he? I don't think he is, but
his voice isn't intimidating though. His voice is too soft.
When you said skinny and big nose, I just thought straight away.
When he speaks through that fucking stupid that voice thing in Star Wars, it doesn't sound intimidating at all.
I think it sounds good, but okay, cool. good question. If anyone else has got questions for the future, which we'll just start actually putting them out on our Instagram now a bit earlier, definitely will answer them. That was a great question. Let's go with Connor, your first take. So let's have your popcorns, please.
I think 77. It's everything I want in a Halloween film.
Okay,
but it's not really that good. But there's so many sick elements, and elements that even though you already know them through picking them up from them being parodied or through other cultural osmosis, they still hold up. Everything holds up. Yeah, I'm into it. Really good film.
Liam?
Fuck it. 69. Oh, hey, okay. The lad.
The sexy number. Okay.
I didn't want to give it 70, so, you know.
But 71 was just too much, was it? I'm going to go with 57. 57. I very much think it was middling. But I like it a lot more than I like Evil Dead 2. All right, cool. Well, I think that's kind of that then. I suppose that wraps up the film element, and that wraps up the podcast. All we've got to do is give you next week's film and plug the shit out of some of our social stuff. So social media, what I think you should do now is, if you're listening, get your phone out and go on Twitter and search for us and follow us at First Take Pod. Is that right? First Take Pod. And that's the same First Take Film Club on Facebook and at First Take Pod on Instagram. Please follow us. It is really, really helpful. And also give us a rating on all the podcast apps if you want to. That'd be great. Next week's film, we've decided on, I think we record maybe on Bonfire Night, and then it'll be released the day after Bonfire Night. So we've gone a bit bonfire-y with... Connor's first take. So me and Liam have seen this before, but Connor hasn't. So he's on a bit of a roll with the first takes. We're doing V for Vendetta, which I cannot believe that Connor hasn't seen it. I am absolutely shocked.
I've got to be honest. This is going to be almost like a refresh kind of take for me, because I've not seen this film for about 10 or more years. So
that's nice. I've seen it about 6-7 times. Like, I friggin' love this film. It really appeals to the anarchist in me. So that's what you've got to look forward to next week, listener. And thank you very much for tuning in. And like I say, please follow us on socials and have a really, really nice week and stay safe.